nail nails in his hands and nailed a spike through his feet, drove a sword in his side. Praise God, put a crown of thorns upon his head, lifted him up wide, up high, and stretched him out wide. And thank God he died. He drank the whole cup. And my God, they put him in that grave. Stayed there 3 days and three nights. We're going to leave it right there. We're going to leave it right there. We're going to leave it right there. Put him in the ground. Stayed there 3 days, three nights. Next Sunday is resurrection morning. We're gonna leave him there. And on next Sunday, we're going to get him out. Well, he got up, praise God, with all power in his hand. Oh, Lord, every time that I'm...
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
I should just put verse 7 up there. I'd like you to put verse 1 through 7. Oh, there it go. Verse 1 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that we ran not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you or us. Go ahead. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are also dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Praise God. You may be seated. On the first Sunday, we talked about the fact that living a disciplined life, and we provided the description of a disciplined life. Said that a disciplined life had a particular mind. In other words, it was the mind of Christ. A disciplined life had the mark of militancy. In other words, when it says arm yourself, this was a form of spiritual warfare. A disciplined mind has a sharp meaning. The sharp meaning was that it was a change from the way that we used to, that the way that we should live. It was a digression. It was a sharp contrast, a difference. In other words, we no longer live to satisfy our own human flesh, but we live, praise God, to do the will of God. And I believe finally we said that a disciplined life, in the description of it, is a life that is often misunderstood. We talked about the fact that, praise God, once we gave our lives to Christ, those friends, those family members, those folks that were around us, they looked at us as though we were strangers. They called us strange. They said some things about us. They called us holy rollers. They called us holier than thou. They even ridiculed us as to why we would spend so much time, praise God, in church. Why do we spend so much time in Bible study and all that? They would look at us as strange. So but a disciplined life is a life that's often misunderstood. And then after that, we talked about the directions for a disciplined life. And that came from Luke chapter 9. The description came from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And then we say that directions for life come for a disciplined life come from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And I believe I presented you all with four D's. I wanted to make sure I go over this because I know there are some people who are writing those down. The first direction, I said, we got the compass point north, south, east, west. And so I sorted, labeled each one of those and the direction of a compass. This is showing us direction. So when you want to talk about the directions for a disciplined life, first thing you got to do is denial. That's the one that's pointing off. Amen. The second one, D, is death. In other words, we must, praise God, take up our cross. When we see take up the cross mean that we got to put something to death. Praise God. Those old ways that we used to have. Praise God. And the third direction was daily. It was going east. I said, that's what, this is a daily walk. Praise God. This is not just on Saturday. This is not just on Sunday. This is not just on Monday. Praise God. This walk that we walk as a believer, if we want to be a disciplined believer, it's an everyday affair. Praise God. And the last one, idea I talked about was devotion, because He said, follow me. In other words, Jesus, we have to make Jesus the Lord of our life. Praise God, every day of our life. See, men have so, for so many years, have had the tendency to want to do their own thing. So He's telling us now, praise God, it's no longer you doing your own thing, but praise God, you have to do the will of our Father, and you'll do the will of Jesus. We have to follow Him. We have to give our devotion to Him. And finally, praise God, I put some things down from both of those texts. It's going to sound sort of redundant, but I believe we need to say it in order for us to really get the flavor of what we're trying to talk about. Yeah. Amen. And talk about living a disciplined life. I jotted down 13 things here. I could have went on about 15, but I said I was going to do 13. I won't do all 13 of them today. I'm going to try to do about 7 of them, and I'll finish up the rest of them on next week. But praise God, when we start talking about this third D, this is dimensions of a disciplined life. Dimension just means how do you measure something. Praise God. And if somebody were to measure your life, look at your life. Would your life measure up to being a life that's a disciplined life? Yeah. Amen. I can't answer that question for you. Yeah. You can't answer that question for me. But praise God, let me just give you some things, amen, that I have jotted down here that talked about the dimensions of a disciplined life. The very first thing, a disciplined life, you can tell a disciplined life by a disciplined mind and thought life. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you must have a disciplined mind and thought life. Praise God. You see, you can tell a disciplined believer by what comes from his or her heart. Oh, boy. I tell you what, If I don't get some amens, we might be here until 5 o'clock. Y'all won't get a chance to see the Saints game, so if y'all want me to hurry up and get out of here, say amen a little louder. Your mind, you have to have a disciplined mind. You got to have a disciplined thought life. Praise God. Look what Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 on the board. This is Proverbs written by the wisest man in the world. Solomon wrote this. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. Amen. There's only one person wiser than Solomon. Amen. That was Jesus Christ. Solomon was the one. Look what Solomon says. We're talking about Solomon says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You want to know what's in a person's heart? Stay around them and find out what come out of their mouth. Stay around them and find out what's come out of their mind. But a disciplined believer is going to feed their mind. They're going to feed their thought process on the things of God. They don't have time to be around a whole lot of jibber-jabbing and a whole lot of foolishness. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Jenkins. She took the word right out of my mouth. That's why Paul, when he was writing to his spiritual son, not to that same church, excuse me, Philippian church. Put Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8 on there. Look what Paul said. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Praise God, and became obedient unto the cross, obedient even until the death of the cross. In other words, Jesus, praise God, humbled himself. Amen. Jesus had the mind of God. We are born again believers. We are Christian. We ought to take on the mind of Christ. And if we are to be disciplined, and if we take on the mind of Christ, nobody would be able to move us with foolishness.
Amen. Amen.
I'm good. Y'all. Yeah. Amen. She's saying it loud. She want to make sure I move on. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. So when we're talking about a dimension, somebody looking at your life, they're trying to measure what your life should be like. They're going to measure it by what comes out of your mind, what comes out of your heart. And seeing what comes out of your heart, you can't fool folk with that.
Yes.
Secondly, I say I'm only going to do 6 today, 7. You can tell by a disciplined attitude.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I know you all have ran across some of them believers who have some bad attitudes.
Yes,
so we talk about living a disciplined life. So you got to bring that attitude. Let me ask this question. Did Jesus have a bad attitude? Can anybody ever accuse Jesus of having a bad attitude? Never. I go through scripture, Brother Steve, you know, I only saw one time where Jesus got mad. Because them folks were doing some things in church that they weren't supposed to do. They were in church and they were selling all kind of stuff and all that. They tell me that he took a cord and whipped them out of there. He said, because y'all have taken the house of my God and make it unto a den of thieves. Only time I've ever saw him mad. So Jesus had a great attitude. And if we were to take and look We're not going to read through all of them, because if I do that,